Full Story is supported by CommBank. CommBank is dedicated to using the latest tech to create real change. From utilizing agentic AI to outsmart cybercrime, to solving complex problems at scale, their teams support more than 17 million Australians every day. And you could be part of it. CommBank is looking for senior technologists to help influence strategy, security, and innovation across one of Australia's leading tech environments. If you're a curious mind who thrives on collaboration and is eager to engineer real impact, search CommBank Tech Careers.
Douglas, thank you for joining us on Full Story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been in Alice Springs reporting on the alleged abduction and murder of Kumanjayi Little Baby. Can you tell me what it was like when you first arrived in town?
I arrived there basically just before lunch on Thursday, and searches had still been taking place about 5 km out of town, not far from Alzheimer's camp. And, you know, there was a big search party there, walking through the buffalo grass. You know, I'd stuck around there for a little bit, had a chat to a few people, but we decided to go out to Old Timers Camp to go and try and approach the family because, you know, I heard that they were open to speaking to media and to putting their concerns or, you know, what they wanted to say, you know, people to search for Kumanjayi Little Baby. And unfortunately, when I got there, I wasn't aware that police had just left before I arrived and had just informed the family that they had found her body. There was a lot of hope, you know, throughout the week that that wasn't going to be the case. People were just holding their breath, hoping that they would somehow find her alive, and that obviously didn't happen. And so I do remember, you know, getting out of the car and walking up to the family home, and it was a very big crowd there of people, and obviously something wasn't right. It was just very horrific. You could feel it. You could see it. You could hear the cries from family. And I'd been there for a minute, and I'd spoke to someone, and you know, they were said, like, no, you got to go. And then about 15 minutes later, there was a press conference that me and my photographer went to at the NT police station, and that was it. You know, when we walked in there, all the other media were there, and everyone just sort of looked at each other, and I saw the police officers come out, and you could tell that some of them were crying. As soon as that happened, you could tell that the energy kind of just shifted in that town. People had gone from being very hopeful to now dealing with this absolute significant loss to the Alice Springs community.
Mm. Douglas, that would have been hard to witness as a journalist, and it is devastating news for the community. How has it affected them? What has the local community told you?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the week, I'd been seeing everyone just coming together, watching from afar. I was in Melbourne, and I could see it on social media, and that there was people at a drop of a hat were doing what they could to try and search and find her alive. But after, you know, the announcement that she was deceased, I went around speaking to local businesses and just people. Everyone was just in shock. You know, when I was in that press conference, you know, I'd seen other reporters just start crying. Police officers were crying. A lot of people who I spoke to as well were crying. You know, obviously Alice Springs is, you know, it's got a bit of a difficult relationship with the people there have with each other. But throughout that week, that wasn't really the case. I would say that they came together pretty strongly to search for Kumanjayi Little Baby. They put all their differences aside. And then I went out, and after they'd found her deceased, I'd been speaking to people, and they were just, you know, telling me that we don't care about all the negativity that this community gets all the time from media and from people who don't know who we are and what they see on the news. And when things like this happen, when little girls go missing, whether they're black, white, we pull up our socks, you know, we get out there and we search. And that's what I saw when I was speaking to people on the ground, like business owners, after she was found. And they were crying. They were telling me that, you know, we just wanted to do what we could to help. We were very hopeful through the week, and we were just, but now it's just turned into grief. Now the community is just really dealing with what's happened, and it's going to be pretty tough, I'd say.
That very evening on Thursday night, police arrested 47-year-old Jefferson Lewis, and people began to converge on the town's hospital where he was being held. Can you tell me about what we know about his arrest and how that evening unfolded?
Apparently he was just walking along. Someone had spotted him, and, you know, he's obviously the most wanted person probably in the country at that point. And I think a lot of people thought people were hiding him. Some people thought that he'd actually gone interstate, and the whole time he was still in the community. Obviously, once he got found, it sort of erupted. That was probably just before 10 o'clock on Thursday night. And he was in that town camp, and other community members approached him and they've assaulted him. And I did hear that the police were called and the police did arrive there pretty quickly. But by the time they got there, he had suffered some injuries. That's the two worlds colliding, as I would put it. You know, you've got the Western world, then you've got First Nations culture. And for thousands of years, Aboriginal law has been on this land, and Western society and Western laws only come through in the last 200 and something years. And he's been charged now, and, you know, he will face justice in a Western court, but the community out there is still pretty strong in culture, and what they saw and what happened is it was their way of dealing a bit of justice to this person who hasn't yet been found guilty. And what you saw was just a collision of two worlds that we have here in Australia. You know, in Aboriginal communities, and I'm also from one of them as well, we still do deal in tribal law. So that's why they've all arrived at the hospital as well. And, yeah, that was a bit chaotic. And I was there for a few moments, but, yeah, I'd had to, because I was by myself, it wasn't truly a safe environment, and I sort of had to sort of get back a little bit. And you saw community leaders standing up too at the riot. They were calling for calm as it was happening. There's photos of people there who were rioting, police officers comforting them as well. That was some pretty powerful imagery.
Mm.
It went on pretty much all night at the hospital in downtown, so it was pretty bad.
He was then flown to Darwin, authorities say, for his safety and that of hospital staff.
Mm.
And it seems that the town has returned to a state of calm. What was the message from leaders and elders after that violence broke out?
Yeah, I just touched on it a little bit. It was the call for calm. I did see some leaders say that throughout the week, and the search, and, you know, the 200 plus volunteers who came together from, you know, all walks of the community, that it showed such a unity and that the community come together to search. You know, it didn't matter which colour your skin was, and people were just wanting a safe return for Kumanjay little baby. And, you know, I did see a few elders sort of say that what happened on Thursday night at the hospital just really tarnished all of that. And, you know, it really ruined how the community came together throughout the week. And now they've just got to sort of deal with the fallout of what happened at the Alice Springs Hospital. But they're calling for calm now, community leaders, and they're asking people not to follow through with payback and Aboriginal culture. And they want the family to be able to grieve. They want the family to be able to do their sorry business and heal. It's going to be very, very difficult, obviously, because this is such a significant loss to the family and the community. And I've just seen, you know, everyone I know on social media has felt this as well. People from all parts of the country just talking about this and how this has impacted them. And this did happen in Alice Springs, but this has a much bigger impact than you could imagine nationwide, I'd say.
Mm. The effect of it has been felt right around the country. Police have now charged Jefferson Lewis. What charges does he face, and when is he expected to front court?
So he, you know, has been charged with murder and two other counts. It's, you know, we're pretty limited on what we can say on what he's been charged with and the police process and the courts just yet. But he is expected to appear in court on Tuesday morning in Alice Springs via video link. I think we're just going to have to wait for that first hearing and sort of see, you know, where we can go from there.
A vigil will be held later in the week, and Kumanjay little baby's family says that now is a time for mourning, and they say they don't want their community to be used as a political football. As you mentioned earlier, you travelled to Old Timers Camp. I wonder what you can tell us about the area, its history, and what it's like there.
You know, there's, you know, 16, 17 town camps. They're spread throughout the town and on the outskirts of town. And obviously this is, you know, it's all social housing, and this is where, you know, Aboriginal people live. You know, I've been out to a few town camps throughout my reporting and my career working in Alice Springs, and it's a different environment to what you're used to in Australia. If you don't know Alice Springs, and if you're more of a city person, you go out there and you sort of see that they live. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of social disadvantage, and there is a bit of violence in these communities. And that's something that the Alice Springs community and leaders are always trying to address. Things do kick off in Alice Springs every now and then. But they are calling for, we've heard from conservatives calling for a royal commission into, the violence and sexual assaults in town camps in Alice Springs. And I just kind of question as to, what is that actually going to do? But Aboriginal people do live in these poverty-stricken communities and deal with disadvantage every day. And that's not just in Alice Springs, that's nationwide.
We'll be right back. Before I let you go, Douglas, I wanted to ask you, how does your lived experience inform your reporting? How has it informed your reporting on this particular story?
Yeah, I come from a community, Tjuna in South Australia. It's where they first introduced the basics card, and we face our, social unrest there.